Today on Real Radio.
So dead here means absolute dead, and it's a universal death, and it's continuing even now in the world because of sin. And the point that Paul is trying to make right here is that we've all been born under this sin, and that we are all dead to God, and a dead man can do absolutely nothing to help himself.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're in chapter 2, where Paul continues his explanation of the new life believers in the Messiah now have. Verses 1 through 3 speak of the conversion true believers have experienced. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in his presentation called From Death to Life.
The Bible teaches that you'll die twice. You'll die a physical death and you'll die a spiritual death for all eternity, and you'll live in that spiritual death. That's a terrible thing. That's why Jesus went to the cross. He doesn't want you to go there. But the real you on the inside is the part that will live forever. Isn't that amazing? Jack, this is pretty depressing. I told you it was a black velvet background here. So next week can shine all the better. We're not talking about a kind of dead. We're not talking about a symbolic dead or a positional dead. We're talking about, in fact, the truest meaning of the word, biblical terms, death to the spirit. Men are born dead. And let's study this a little bit. What is the mode of death for us? For all who are born into the world. Watch this. Look at verse 2. It says, verse 1, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Trespasses and sins. Mark those down for a moment. The word trespass means a deviation of an intentional error to willfully sin. That's the word trespass. It's pretty direct. It's willful sinning. To transgress is to premeditate the sin. Watch this. Get up tomorrow morning and you say, you know what? I am going to go knock on, you know, my neighbor's door. The wife or the husband, depending upon who you are, they're away on a business trip, and I'm going to go over there tomorrow, knock on their door, and flirt with that girl or flirt with that guy. And you say, that's terrible. That's transgression. It's to say, I'm going to go do this thing next Sunday. And you plan it. It's premeditated sin. It is called transgression. All sin is totally unacceptable to God. It's horrible and hideous. But in a sense, it's worse. It's premeditated sin. Why? Because the Holy Spirit says, don't do that. But you still make plans to do it. Don't do that. And you just blow him off and you do it. Transgression. Willful sinning. The word sin here means to sin by missing the mark or the standard. You know the term. You've heard it before. It's an Olympic term. It's an archery term. The guy sets up a target. It's got the yellow, the blue, and the red. The guy pulls an arrow out of the quiver, draws it back, shoots his arrow, and he misses the bullseye, and he lands right on the yellow spot, and the guy would yell back at the archer, sinner! Meant that he missed the mark. That's all the word means. You missed the mark. And it's not intentional. This is what the word means. The word means to know what's right and to put every bit of effort to do what's right. And you still miss it. I mean, you got that, baby. You're just like right there. You lick the feathers on the arrow.
Get that baby light down there. Got the sights on that thing. I got it. Steady as a rock. Let it go. And you miss. You had absolutely 100% intentions of hitting that bullseye. And you missed it. You had great intentions. And you could even say, I'm not like this bonehead over here next to me. That guy turned around and shot the judge. That's transgression. God's standard is don't miss the mark. Who's guilty? The sinner or the transgressor? Both are. They've missed the mark. The Bible tells us that we are all guilty of being sinners. You know what? The truth is we're all guilty of being transgressors too. How many of you have your driver's license? Raise your hand. If we've gone over the posted speed limit, we've said, oh my goodness, 35, I'm doing 45, I better slow down. That's sinning. To transgresses, it's 35? Oh man! That's transgression. We're guilty. All of us. And that's our dilemma. Romans chapter 7 verse 14 says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal. Why? Sold under sin. I don't remember being sold. Well, you have to talk to mom and dad, Adam and Eve. They sold us under sin. And we were born with this sin nature within us. Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, it says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin, or actually through that sin that Adam committed, things began to die from that moment on. And in this way, death came to all mankind, that's us, because all have sinned. How's that? This Bible was written before you and I were born. Yeah, but you know what? You're a sinner. How is it? Because you got Adam in you. Even though you and I have never committed the sin, we've got that nature in us, and by position, by inheritance, we're sinners. But don't be disappointed. The day will come when you and I will grow up and start to commit our own sins and do our own thing. There was a time when we sinned in our ignorance. We didn't know anything. We were just what I would call innocent. We might have been children. We didn't know, and we innocently sinned. But there comes a time of accountability when we sin willfully, and we understand that. And it's called teenage years. Seriously, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding about that. It's true. That's when the kids are finding out what's what in their life, and do I believe mom and dad anymore? And I experience a lot of teen rebellion is hooked to them finding their own faith in God. They've heard you talk about it forever, and they don't believe you anymore. They're searching all the water, testing everything, seeing what the deal is, and they got to come to their own faith. And a lot of that is exposed through teen rebellion. They are becoming responsible for their own sins. It's a very critical time. We need to pray for them greatly. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is God's standard. And the word is all, and all means all, and that's all that all means. Galatians 3:22 says, but the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith that is in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Isn't that amazing? That's what the Scripture says. So dead here means absolute dead, and it's a universal death, and it's continuing even now in the world because of sin. And the point that Paul is trying to make right here is that we've all been born under this sin, and that we are all dead to God, and a dead man can do absolutely nothing to help himself. And I hope you see the beauty in what all this means. And I sure hope you're having a right heart as this word goes out. You can sit here and go, man, that's offensive, man. This really upsets my pride and my ego. This can hurt you. Or you can say, wow. I mean, I'm no angel. I mean, I'm not as bad as that guy, but I'm no angel. I understand that. Why did I do the things that I did? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Well, it sounds like to me that I've been sold under sin. There's really not much I can do about what happened in the past, but it sure sounds like I've got some control over the future, and that you do. It's by coming to faith in Jesus Christ, coming to Him in faith, and accepting what He has provided for you as forgiveness. But you cannot do anything to save yourself.
That's why our works before God is lunacy.
We are not only born in this valley. We're going to see in a moment that we have a road that we've all traveled on in this valley. But I heard something today. I cannot even believe this is true. It's printed up. It's documented. I went to the back of the book to see if it was true. I find it hard to believe. But at the University College Hospital in London, England, there's a guy there by the name of, he's a philosopher, supposed to be pretty famous. I've personally never heard of him. But his name is Jeremy Bentham. And he left that school, that teaching hospital school there, multi-millions of dollars for their expansion and for their future, only under these conditions, only if he could sit on the board of directors as long as the school, the teaching hospital school lasted. That was in his will. And if they did not agree to that, they could not get a dime of the money. He's been on that board for 159 years. The guy is wrapped in a bag with formaldehyde and they bring him in a wheelchair for every monthly board meeting in London. And the chairman says, when his name is called at roll call, the chairman responds, "Present but not voting." This is not a joke. I read this. This is documented. And I did the same thing you're doing. This is nuts. Well, they want the money. And there's executors to this case to make sure it all works out throughout the years. Before we came to Jesus Christ, we could not vote. We were that dead. That's the point. We were that dead. We looked good. We went around town. But we were dead to God. We lived our own way. And the proof, you might say, I don't buy it. The proof is you did your own thing. So what? The proof about you and I being alienated from God is that we went out and fulfilled our own lusts and our own desires. We'll see this in a moment. We were spiritually dead. And isn't it a beautiful thing? Once you come to Christ, you try to do those things again. You know, you backslide. You backslide. Backsliding is the worst. You know, you look at a Christian, I see, we've been at church long enough now to where I've seen people come in, and then they'll go. And then they'll come back in. And when they come back in, the poor things are thrashed. They look like they've only been gone for about a year. They look like they've been gone for 5 years or 10 years. And they come walking in. You go, "How you doing?" And they're thrashed because the world has just shredded them up. Why? Because they're a Christian, but they've walked away from God. And the Lord is so good, He'll just let them get shredded to pieces. And the Holy Spirit's look, you know, you're going, "Come on, Holy Spirit, let's go over here to this strip bar." "Not me." "Oh, come on." "No, I'm not going." "Oh, come on, let's go over here and let's do some drugs." "Come on, Lord." "Not me." "Oh, come on, let's just go sleep around for a while." "Not me." And the Holy Spirit stands on the shore and waves, "I'll see you when you get back." And you'll come back. Man, are you thrashed. It's a rough, rough ride out there. Well, before we ever came to Jesus, we did those things, didn't think a thing of it. In fact, we were premeditating when we were going to better it. But look at verse 2 now. Verse 2, he says right here, "In which you once walked according to the course of this world." In which you once walked according to the course of this world. We're going to look at three things tonight which are the accomplices to our death. Mark them. Three things. You know them very well. The first thing is right here in verse 2. He says that we walked according to the course of this cosmos. That's the word in the Greek. Number one thing that was an accomplice to our death was the world. The world. The material or immaterial regions of creation. Literally the world. Invisible things. The creation. To walk according to the course of this cosmos, this world. What is he meaning? Well, we'll find out in a moment. But our number one enemy to us being spiritually dead is the world. So you mark that down. And this word walked, this is a great word that Paul used here. It means to tread all around.
To tread all around, to walk at large, to be occupied with the world. Isn't that a perfect definition? You turn on the TV and it is sick.
I don't want to get off into this, but I want to mention this one thing. I think America, I am so embarrassed of the United States. I used to think it was, you know, kind of okay. And then I've traveled abroad, and when it comes to standard of living, we've got, let me be really honest with you. Okay, we've got toilets that flush better than anybody's. Okay? We have, I'm not kidding, we have the softest toilet paper in the world. I'm not joking. We have the softest toilet paper in the world. You know what? It used to be, we had the best looking highways in the world. I don't know what's going on with our roadways. But I tell you what, I'm not so impressed anymore. You get out and you get looking around and the standard is slipping. And let me tell you something, I love America red, white, and blue, man. And I'd die for it today. And it's the greatest nation in the world still. But the thing is, the world that has crept into our nation and into our system that is, oh, extruded through the television set into your ears and your eyes is the worst junk going out there. We've got things on TV where you don't even have to watch the program, but they'll show a clip about whoever these talk show bozos are anymore. Each one trying to outdo the next one about this girl's going to tell her boy or her husband on TV in front of the nation that she's got a girlfriend. And he's supposed to, and they all watch his reaction. Oh, what's he going to do when he finds out his wife's a lesbian? And the world laughs and snickers and stuff and pulses and Romans. You know what? You laugh at that stuff, you're guilty of it. Because you're approving of it by laughing and playing with it. And our nation is sick with this. It is a sad and tragic thing what's happened to America. And by the way, judgment's coming to the United States. Billy Graham said it 20 years ago. If God does not judge America, He will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Kind of goes back to the announcement tonight, doesn't it? About what's going to be allowed in Hawaii, which will be allowed in the 49 states if we don't pray and we don't react. A tremendous thing. The world system to tread all around and to walk about at large, to be occupied with it, to love it. And it's the picture. The picture's painted like this. The world. And we walked like that once. But the world is like that. It's the world. You know, if you're driving on Interstate 15 to Salt Lake City and you're 45 minutes away from Vegas, and you can see the hills glowing at 3 o'clock in the morning, the hills are glowing over the mountains. Like, what is going on? You're going, what is going on? And you come around the hill, and what do you see? You see way out there. You see Vegas. And you know, people, like, they turn the corner and they see the, oh, Vegas. You know, and they're like, oh man, the world! Oh! And it's like nuts! The world loves the world. Jesus says the world is in love with itself. It loves the world. The world loves its own. It's amazing. And we're not of the world anymore. Jesus says we're not of the world anymore. He says if we were of the world anymore, the world would love us. The world hates us. And it goes down to that simple thing. The world can't stand us. Because I think this sounds a little simplistic, but when you were maybe, you know, going to the party for the first time in your life and people are standing around and there's always somebody there, there's always somebody that just, oh, come on, have a beer. You know, I'm 9 years old. Oh, come on. Or whatever, you know, come on. And the more that the ringleader can get, the more people he can get in his sin, the more comfortable he feels. And he, listen, this is a trick. Any young people in here, listen, it's a trick. The more people that this calloused heart can get doing his thing,
He feels more justified and he feels a little bit less responsible to God because he's not the only one doing it. Everybody's doing it. That's why he says, come on, do it. Oh, come on, everybody's doing it. Come on. What they are saying is that I'm guilty, man. I feel guilty, but I want to do this, but there's this struggle within me. And though if more of you do it, I won't feel so bad. It's a trick. But the world loves its own. And he's talking about walking around this world system and the world saying, come on, baby, enjoy it. This is great. This is the world, man. And you go outside and you go to other places of the world and you know what those countries want to be like? They want to be just like America. Statue of Liberty? No way. They want MTV. They want minors emancipated so they can tell their parents where to go and they can sue them. They want to do the things Americans can do. Wouldn't it be awesome if we were exporting holiness and righteousness? The Bible says that if a nation has holiness and righteousness in its borders, it will flourish as a country. You want to know why they found gold in America, in California? It changed the course of the world. We're not talking America here. The gold rush of 1849 changed the course of human history. But do you know what the next gold rush was on the heels of that monetary bonanza? It was the gospel going out to all the world on the heels of our wealth. And it was up until 1954, I believe it was, where the United States Congress supported the evangelistic opportunities of the world through legislation. It was a law that a portion of the national budget went to evangelism. 1954, struck down. Got our eyes off God. And this word course, the word course simply means the age or the trends or fads. Isn't that funny? You ought to jot that down. Parents, you're going to really want to jot this down in a minute because it does mean trends and fads, the present as well as the future. The spiritually dead are dominated by the worldview and world social agenda. It is this thing. The earth is our mama, Mother Earth. It's our home, it's our thing, and that belief system, that home base of the world being in the heart, this word here, of course, trends and fads. Isn't that something?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. It's a presentation called From Death to Life. We'll look at the first three verses of chapter 2. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, one of the most infamous dates in U.S. history, September 11th, or 9/11, to which it is commonly referred, reminds us of one of the planet's and the gospel's greatest threats. Everywhere, it seems, we're reminded never to forget. And to better help us understand the terrorism, carnage, and anti-scriptural views of the religion of Islam, we're once again offering Brigitte Gabriel's book, Because They Hate. Despite today's politically correct mentality, the author reminds us about the threat to our nation that became reality in her native land. So, if you missed our offer last time, now's your opportunity to take advantage. For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio, of any amount, we'll send you Brigitte Gabriel's book, Because They Hate. Visit realradioactive.org for more about the book and its author, and to make your contribution. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, you can find out all of our contact information once again by visiting realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.